Welcome to Safety Chats. Host Jason Stark, Director of Safety at Baldwin Safety and Compliance, shares decades of aviation experience and a passion for safety. Let's get started with this week's Safety Chat.
Hello all, welcome to the Baldwin Safety Chat. If you listen to some podcasts in the past, you'll know that sometimes I like to bring some books, to bring some of the ideas into the podcast, especially in the context of safety and safety management. A book that I've recently read, and some of you probably know the author, Simon Sinek, really well known for Finding Your Why. He has a book that's called The Infinite Game. This book really resonated with me for a couple different reasons, but when it comes to safety, it really was telling. It really painted a vivid picture to me, for me, I should say. But when it comes to safety management systems, when we do safety management, for lack of a better term, in the organization, it truly is an infinite game. And let me explain. So maybe I can draw a contrast between what's considered a finite game and an infinite game. The finite game, Sinek will say, they have fixed rules and it has an agreed upon objective. So there's a winner at the end of a finite game, like a poker game, a football game, soccer game, baseball. Those are finite games. There are rules and the players play according to the rules to reach an objective, which is to generally score more points. And that's the end of the game and everybody goes home. An infinite game, on the other hand, I'm going to use Sinek's definition here because it really kind of ties into this idea of complexity as well. An infinite game has both known and unknown players. The rules can change. There's no clear ending point at which one person is declared the winner. So the infinite game, there is no end. There is no agreed upon objective saying we've won. And you're like, well, how does that serve us in safety? If we can't win, if there's no end to it, then obviously it's something that's continuous, that's continuously played. When it comes to safety and safety management, in my opinion, there is no end. I mean, there is no, we won. We've done it. We're there. We're safe. You know, a lot of times we see these organizational objectives. Our objective is to be safe. Well, how are you going to meet that objective? Because safety, again, in my opinion, is an infinite game. It's something where we don't have a clear ending, but we know we need to strive for it. So Sinek talks about establishing this idea of an infinite mindset and building a strong, resilient company. And we'll talk about in terms of safety, a strong, resilient company in terms of safety. There's these five elements, if you will, and just really quickly, one of them is advance a just cause. Two is build a trusting team. Three, study your worthy rivals. Four, be ready to pivot on a fundamental level. And five, demonstrate the courage to lead. These are very good guidelines in terms of an organization with a product. When it comes to safety, some of them might need to be tweaked a little bit, but it still provides a good blueprint how we can build an infinite mindset where we're not saying, oh, we reached stage three as Bayos, we won, we're done. No, we're not done. It's an infinite game. So how do we get into that mindset? And the first thing is advancing a just cause. When he talks about advancing a just cause, it really is kind of steeped in the why. And when I teach this, the safety management, specifically implementing safety management, we really have to dig down into the why. What it really turns out to be is this just cause, because the safety management system is just a way. It's a way to facilitate a deeper just cause. A just cause also has five elements. It stands for something, but not against something. It's idealistic, so that means it's inspiring, it's bold. He says ultimately unachievable, and some people might bristle at that, but it's this idea that you're always striving for it. It's inclusive, meaning that it inspires others. It's service-oriented, and it's resilient. It can endure the ages, it can endure economic downturns, it can endure pandemics, whatever. It's resilient. So this idea of a just cause when it comes to safety, it's more than zero accidents. It's more like we want to create an environment where we can achieve complete safety. And even that might not be hitting the mark. And this is something you can scratch your head on, but what is this just cause for having an infinite mindset about safety? About safety as being a game that cannot be won, but that we should strive to win, and that's kind of a paradox that we have to resolve. It's this idea that we have to advance this just cause. And I will tell you, from what I've seen in organizations and also what I teach, if we have that just cause when it comes to advancing safety management, when it comes to getting people inspired about safety and safety management, when we have that just cause, people want to be a part of it. So when we talk about the just cause for safety, let's go with the one, you know, we want to create an environment that brings absolute safety. You know, we want everybody to go home at night for the rest of time. We want to create an environment that has absolute safety. So we want it to be something bold, something that, you know, isn't really necessarily achievable, but yet that's something that inspires. That's part of the being inclusive. It needs to inspire. And it has to be aimed at the benefit of others. So when we say we want to achieve complete safety for maximum profits, that's not service-oriented. We want to say we want to achieve complete safety in the terms that we want everybody in our organization to go home at night. We want to strive for getting to zero. We want the safest possible environment. That is an idealistic goal. Can we reach that goal and say we're done? I would argue no, we cannot. And that's what makes it an infinite game. When we say we want everybody to come home, we want everybody to be in the safest environment possible, it's resilient. Whether we've been knocked down because of the economy to operate in one airplane on certificate, or we're running like gangbusters and barely have a time to breathe, that just cause has to remain, has to be resilient. It can't be, well, that worked well when we were slow because we could really pay attention, but you know, now that we're super busy, you can't really pay attention to that. No, it can't be like that. It has to be something that is resilient, something that endures. So when we talk about advancing that just cause as the first element of building that mindset, that's exactly what we're doing, but we have to start there because that's the foundation. Now, if we try to juxtapose this to the SMS framework, that's likened to a safety policy statement in a sense that needs to be conveyed by leadership. And we need to build trusting teams. And when we talk about building trusting teams, that means we have to build teams where the team members value each other and everybody feels safe to speak up and to participate. So now we get into this notion of psychological safety. But what's really interesting, especially when you start getting into the realm of safety too and HOP and resilience engineering, you know, that advanced thinking on safety, this idea of learning teams is very important. It's a matter of where you are interacting with the individuals in the organization to understand what they do, to understand where the potential pitfalls can be. For individuals to be part of that learning team, it can't be a sense where they don't feel like they're trusted, that they can provide value, or they're not trusted to speak up freely. They have to have that environment where they can say, yeah, this is what's going on. Even if you do one thing from this podcast, but this idea of getting a learning team together and asking them what they do and where things could go wrong and learn from that is so incredibly important. And then when we talk about the infinite game, as we are building that trusting team, because when you bring the people together and you give them the space to be open, to be honest, without any retribution, without any criticism, they're going to start feeling trust and they're going to start trusting the organization. So we build those trusting teams as part of that infinite game. Now, study your worthy rivals is actually interesting. That's the third element in building an infinite mindset. But studying your worthy rivals is actually quite interesting in the terms of product development. It's the idea that when you have a rival for your product, that you don't view them in a negative sense. You don't view them in a sense where you want to take them down. You want to take them out of the market. You view them in a sense that they are a worthy rival that inspires you to be better. Now, in the realm of safety, can we do that? And absolutely. We can look at other organizations that have a robust safety culture, really have things dialed in terms of the administrative side, the safety management side. We can study those organizations, and I've done it in the past. I've been like, they have all this money, they have all these resources, and oh, they can afford to do all that. We can't do that kind of stuff. You know, I'm just going to do things my way. I've been in that mindset before. I don't know where you guys have been, but it's the idea that rather than looking at them in a negative light, we look at them in a positive light as a way to inspire us to do better. I don't agree that we actually have rivals when it comes to safety. I think we should partner in safety, but we view that somebody might be more advanced than us, somebody that has a better understanding of how to manage risk in their organization, and I'm talking to myself too, but we should kind of get off our high horse, and we should really pay attention, ask questions, and have a very open mind so that these rivals, I'm going to use their quotes here, you can't see them, but these worthy rivals, they can inspire us to do better. Then when we talk about be ready to pivot on a fundamental level, this is interesting too. Again, from the product aspect, it's about business producing a service or good. Being able to pivot is this idea that we can't be locked into a solution, that we have to be able to listen to what's happening in the organization. We have to be listening to what's happening in the industry and be able to react accordingly. This talks to also resiliency of an organization. We have to be able to move. And we've seen really good examples on the business side of organizations that have failed to pivot. One of them that comes to mind right off the top of my head is Blockbuster. The signal started coming out, this idea of streaming. If you remember, Netflix first was renting movies through the mail and how convenient that was. And Blockbuster, they started the mail thing after Netflix, but never really bought into the streaming. And now we see that there are no Blockbusters around. I think another one that comes to mind too is Kodak, which used to be the largest manufacturer of film and cameras. They kind of given way this idea of digital technology, and they never pivoted in time to really catch up and make that change the way they should. In terms of safety, we can't be so brittle or hard dug in how we have established our safety management system. Or, you know, how we've established ways that we do things in order to manage risk. We have to be able to pivot, especially if our mission changes or if the organization changes, like we scale up or scale down. We have to be able to pivot in order to generate, to develop, and nurture this infinite mindset. So being able to pivot is actually really crucial. We see this all the time. I guess the best example in recent history is the pandemic and the downturn in flying and the new controls that we had to put in place. I thought our industry, I applaud it. I pat it on the back saying, I think we did really well in pivoting and addressing this new challenge rather than trying to keep things a status quo and putting our heads in the sand. We saw the signals coming and we adjusted accordingly, not only on the front end of the sharp end of the spear, if you will, but also the service organizations that support flight operations really did a good job.
If you are thinking about upping your safety training, or maybe you are in need of CAM credits for aviation manager certification, you should think Baldwin. Visit baldwinvirtualtraining.com to learn more. Now, back to Safety Chats with Jason Stark.
The last one is really near and dear to my heart. It's demonstrate the courage to lead. When I hear that phrase, demonstrate the courage to lead, I not only see it for our organizational leaders, but I see it for us as safety leaders. We have to be courageous and step up and say, this is what we need to do to move along this path towards our just cause. It's not easy all the time. And you know, some of the things we do in safety, they're not the most popular. And I say that in light of the fact that, you know, sometimes people think of us as a wet blanket, that we're not able to do things, that we slow things down, that we want to analyze things before our organization rushes off and doing things. But another side of that, demonstrate the courage to lead, besides stepping up, is this idea of being deliberately leading. And that means getting in there from your convictions and influencing others. Again, for organizational leaders, yes, very important. But for us, as safety leaders, also extremely important that we can answer the call. Even if what we're doing is not popular or what we're saying is not popular, but it needs to be said, we still need to say it. If it's time out, what we're doing here is not a good idea. Even though people are gung-ho saying, oh, this is the best thing that we're doing, but you're like, no, there's too much with us. The data's saying something different. We have to be able to step up and say that with conviction. This demonstrate the courage to lead. I can't underscore that enough. And in my research, and then also other research that we see in the industry, the impact of leadership on the culture of the organization is profound. It is the underpinning of how people act and behave in the organization. It's what's expressed through leadership. We have to be able to lead for the long haul. Leading for a finite game, I would argue, not too difficult. That's short term, and I think that's easier than leading for the long haul, constantly influencing others and inspiring others for that long game that may not be achievable. We want absolute safety. Are we going to get it? Probably not. So we're going to continue to do things to go towards that goal, which may never be achievable. If we were to put it into context, into an element of the safety management system, this would probably fall squarely under continuous improvement. And it's kind of a shame that continuous improvement is buried under safety assurance. But the idea of this continuous improvement is so incredibly important to safety management. And that's why I think what underpins the infinite game. It is that continuous improvement that is playing the infinite game. Continuous improvement is baked into everything we do in safety management. When we're looking at the data, even if we're just monitoring and we start seeing something go out of control, as an organization, we're going to develop an objective and an attack and do the things we can in order to move that data in the right direction. So in a sense, we are improving. We have a problem. And we're going to fix it and hopefully fix it so that we're better. When we go out and we look in at our organization, when we do our internal evaluation, for example, you know, and there's arguments both sides about how beneficial internal audits are, and we'll say that maybe for another podcast. But when we go out and look at our organization and we're evaluating our processes and procedures, and we see a process that is not putting out the expected output, we have the opportunity to correct it, to make it better. When we actively go out to look for hazards in our environment, whether proactively or reactively, when we do that, we capture it and then we can say, oh, how does this hazard, how could it impact our operations? And look at the risk and then understand, okay, the risk, is it acceptable? No. Well, then, okay, we're not going to do it. Or is it tolerable? Yeah, it's not ideal, but it's tolerable. Well, can we make it more tolerable? We apply resources to lower the risk. We are improving our organization. When we establish these things like implementing a safety management system, implementing a fatigue management system, implementing an industry standard, sending people to training people on how to identify hazards. All these things we do are for improving the organization's level of safety. So I would argue that continuous improvement is a big deal. And when we talk about the infinite game, we're constantly moving towards that end state, which can never be reached. It's like that big, hairy, audacious goal. If you ever read those, the BHAGs, we may not hit it, but my goodness, we're going to be so much better for striving towards it. And that's kind of what the infinite game is about. So again, with the five elements for having this infinite mindset, especially in terms of safety, so that we can build a strong, resilient company, we want to advance that just cause. And remember that just cause, it stands for something, it's idealistic, it includes everybody, it inspires people, it's aimed at benefiting others, and it endures. These are what compose a just cause. So we want to advance a just cause. We want to build trusting teams. We want to create that level of psychological safety so people feel free to speak up. We want people to contribute. We want to understand what they do. We want to understand where the pitfalls are. And the only way we can do that is by talking to the people who do the job. We want to build these teams and we want to build trust in those teams so they come to us and say, look, this isn't working. We need to study our rivals. And I hate to say rivals, but we need to study other organizations that are more advanced than we are. These organizations that may be further down the road in terms of managing safety. And we want to see what they do. We don't want to look at them with a negative eye. Like, no, we want to look at them as they're inspiring us to do better. We want to maybe go to these conferences or these roundtables and asking, well, how do you do this? Be inquisitive. We just really want to learn. And we want to be better. And then we get into, we want to be ready to pivot. We can't be so locked in. We have to read the signals in the organization and in the industry and understand in our path to this idealistic goal, do we need to change anything? Is there things that we have to adjust? And we can't be so locked in. We can't say, well, this has always worked for us in the past. No, we have to go with an open mind. And then finally, demonstrate the courage to lead. Guys, this is so important. We have to be safety leaders. We can lead up. We can lead sideways, and of course, we can lead down. Leadership's about influence. It's not about position. And if we can lead from the foundation of that just cause, if we can really embody that, get fired up about it, really take it in and use that as our North Star for everything that we do, that we keep our eyes fixed on that, that it doesn't sway to other agendas or other goals, but this is where our eyes are fixed, and we lead from that, I think we're going to see really good results. So that's what I have. If you get a chance, the book is The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek. I recommend it to anybody, not just for safety reasons, but also just in life. But it really applies to safety. In the fact that I like to frame what we do in terms of safety management as an infinite game, that we don't win. We're not done. We don't leave the field and say we're safe, we're done. We go into other games or other endeavors. No, this is the infinite game. It has no end. So we talked about the five elements. We talked about building a just cause. Guys, I just, you know, maybe this isn't something that's as pragmatic as how to write a SMART objective, but I think it just is incredibly important. So would love to hear your feedback on this. Hope to see you on the next pod. Until then, guys, stay safe.
This podcast is brought to you by Baldwin Safety and Compliance, the leader in safety management for the transportation industry. Since 2004, Baldwin has been providing state-of-the-art solutions and 24/7 support to the aviation and transportation industries. Baldwin's clients include all sizes and types of transportation operators. Baldwin provides safety and related business services to commercial and non-commercial transportation operators, medical transporters, FBOs, MROs, airports, flight schools, UAS operators, firefighters, OEMs, ground transport operators, and others. Visit BaldwinSMS.com to discover how Baldwin can enhance your organization's safety program.